From Italy to the Canadian Rockies and beyond, Gazette Travel makes exploring the world easy and stress-free. See our full lineup of tours at thegazette.com/travel.
Welcome to the Opinion Combination Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher alongside Dick Briggs, ready to talk a little wrestling. Of course, college wrestling in the midst of its postseason, got a lot going on, especially at the D1 level with conference tournaments. D2 and D3 just had their qualifying tournaments, and of course, the monumental one down in Coralville this weekend as well. The first ever NCAA Women's Championship. Different than the previous versions because this is a sanctioned NCAA championship. Qualifiers from all divisions competing at Extreme Arena Friday and Saturday. The same dates as the Big 12 tournament, Big 10 tournament on Sunday or Saturday and Sunday. Briggsy, how much do you love this time of year?
Yeah. I mean, this is it, isn't it? Of course, I'm a high school guy, so a little disappointed that the state tournament's over, but yeah. Love college as well, so darn it, it's so fun.
And at the end, I'll make reference to our all-area team, but other than that, steady diet of college talk this week on the podcast. So let's jump right into the Big Ten seeding. Before we talk about the specifics, so a lot of criticism going on because of kind of what played out. It appears the coaches kind of bought in to having a third party use a strict formula, points-based formula to do the seeding for them. Talked to Tom Brands on Tuesday. When the coaches voted, it was 12-4, one against, and one abstained vote from the conference coaches, Northwestern's coach, Storniolo, I believe, right? Was the only one to vote against it. So the coaches knew what they were getting, but didn't know this was what was going to come out. What did you think? Well, first off, let me ask you this. How crucial is it for seeds to be objective versus having a human element to where common sense or an eye test can be applied?
Okay, so first of all, we should mention that the seeds were not very good.
So there are a lot of criticisms.
Yeah, I don't have a word for it even. So anyway, in high school when I was still coaching, which has been now a long time ago, but 10 years. So anyway, back then, what we would do is we would have track wrestling do the seeding. And then on a major tournament, you know, like the district tournament that was a qualifier or something like that, which is what this is, the Big Ten and Big 12s are, these are qualifiers now. So what we would do is have the track wrestling put in the criteria, and then track wrestling would seed it. And then the coaches would have a discussion and do the tweaking. And there wasn't the parameters that were put on us like better to put on the Big Ten, you know, like 15 point spread or whatever like that. We'll get into that a bit, but so it's just to me, I can't believe the first time around that the coaches, I'm just hearing this, the process from you, I wasn't aware of it, but so I mean, I knew there was a third party, but to me it's like third party, all right, let them do it, and then coaches have a Zoom meeting or whatever. And let's talk about this before we put it out to the public, and you know, at least the first time around, and have some input on it, some, you know, to be able to digest it. Maybe they did that, I don't know, but it doesn't appear that they did. They stayed with the pre-seed that the third party put out there. Well, so crazy.
All right. Coaches have till Thursday to make changes to their lineup with alternates. And then I believe the tweaking or the challenges to the seeds will be finalized on Friday, the day before the tournament begins.
I believe that's right as well. And they said it had to be a 15-point spread. So I assume that means – so here's the criteria. The first one is head-to-head, which is worth 25 points. So do some math with me. Would you hear it, KJ? The next one is common opponents, which is 25 points. So there's 50, right? And then the next one is their conference dual record, which is 20 points. The next one is quality matches, 10 points. And the next one is their RPI, which is 10 points. And then the coaches' rankings, which is 5 points, and the conference allocation, which is 5 points. So however many that adds up to, they have to do a 15-point spread on that somehow. And I don't know if they can jump one or two or three spots. Is there a limit on that as well?
I think it's only one spot. At least that's how it used to be. When pre-seeds would come out, you really couldn't leapfrog multiple people. It was just supposed to be a minor tweak. Kind of like in football where, like I'm thinking of high school football playoffs, where if you're one spot behind the team that you beat head-to-head, you can leapfrog that team. So I think it's only a short jump as far as seeds go. I don't think somebody can go from 4-1 or 3-1 or something like that.
But which is sad. I'm not sure. There's some that should.
There's a couple spots where it's where you would think there would be
right.
Some.
And I forgot to add that when we were doing high school, we got to input. Like we sent information in to the athletic director of the school that's hosting so that they could input that into, you know, that information, like common opponents or, you know, different things like that, we kind of seeded it how we thought it might, where we thought our wrestler should be seated, and then they, you know, we put it in there, I guess. So I don't know if the coaches had that sort of input or not.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what they submitted when they submitted their lineup and what kind of input other than just their records. One of the things that it did really put an emphasis on was whether, like, the number of matches and who you face throughout the course, especially in the conference season. And we can dive into these seeds. I'll just share Iowa seeds here to start with. At 125, Dean Peterson is the A seed. Drake Ayala is the 5 seed at 133. Nasir Bailey, who's getting the nod. Not a real surprise there with him and Cale Peterson, but Peterson had wrestled here lately. I think because Bailey was dinged up, his hand injury and everything. But Bailey's the number 4 seed at 141. Victor Voinovich III's getting the nod at 157. Tom Brands talked about how it was really, really close there with him and Jordan Williams. But maybe a little bit of a toughness factor kind of swayed things into Voinovich's favor. And I'll say that there are a couple matches with Jordan Williams where there are moments where he gave up points pretty easily. That was the difference between a major and a regular decision. Really kind of was apparent in the Iowa State duel, the Penn State duel, when things got away from him in that one. And that might have been his – that might have played a factor in that decision. At 165, Michael Caliendo is the number 2 seed, which some of these seeds worked against Iowa. That one favored them in the fact that Joey Blaze from Purdue is the number 3 seed, and Blaze beat Caliendo head-to-head in their only meeting this year. At 174, Patrick Kennedy is the number 3 seed. Of course, 74, that was a big head scratcher because Levi Haynes is the number 2 seed behind Chris Christopher Minto of Nebraska, who I believe lost to Haynes, lost to Kennedy, and lost to Carson Karchla, who's the 5 seed. Trying to figure that one out with this point system. At 184, this is one that really stood out to Angelo Ferrari, who at one time was the number one ranked guy. Lost to Rocco Welsh, was still a top five ranked wrestler, even though he missed a lot of time with injury. He's the 8 seed, so you can see Welsh and Ferrari in the quarterfinals. And I understand that one isn't likely to change, you know, with that challenge system and the points. Gabe Arnold, he's going at 197, kind of like we thought. He's the 13 seed, mainly because he doesn't have any body of work at 197 in the conference. So the only one he's ahead of is Alex Smith of Northwestern. And then at 285, Ben Keeter, the number 10 seed, which is a little surprising that it was that low for Keeter, who was third last year, you know, kind of a top 10 guy all season long. But, you know, what really stood out to you as far as?
Well, I think my first opinion is Iowa got some bad seats. They didn't get a, you know, their things didn't go their way, and you know they didn't have a great season. But right. I mean, there's some head scratchers on a few of these, and you know, so if I kind of wait, if I look at 125, first of all, Iowa got 3 8th seeds, and I don't think deserved a couple of those. But anyway, for instance, Peterson was seated 8th, like you said, and he beat the number 2 seed, lost to 1 and 3. And, you know, not so, but then that gets down into the lower ones. You know, how did he do against this guy and this guy? And so then he got pushed all the way down to 8th, even though he's beaten the number 2 seed. At 133, at the top there, that's a real head scratcher to me. Not a real head scratcher. It's a tough call. It's real close. But they favored the Penn State Marcus Blaze, who's 18-0, over Lucas Bird, who's 17-0. Bird is the defending champion. From last year, and he's the defending Big Ten champ and the defending national champ. So that's a head scratcher there. Both are very, very good, and this is a deep weight. I mean, deep. So Drake, who did a good, you know, he's where he needs to be there at 33. Yeah,
I agree with you there. Yeah. I agree with you. Of all the ones that really, that I thought were indicative of where the guy should be. I thought Ayala and Kennedy at 5 and 3 respectively, I thought they were kind of dead on of where they, what spot they earned. Now it's a little different because like Kennedy, the ones around him, I think are all jumbled up and messed up, but right. I think he's a true 3 seed there. Ayala, outside of 33, those top two, I think everything else kind of fell into form except for maybe Dylan Shaver. You know, it was a Big Ten champ a couple of years ago at a 9 seed is a little interesting. But I think 33 was probably one of the better weights that kind of filled out.
And that's deep for sure. So, I mean, you got the two-time national runner-up seated 5th.
I know, right?
There's good guys behind him, lower than him even. So,
yeah, Jacob Van Dee at 6 is really good. We mentioned Shaver, you know. I mean, that's
– yep.
Boy.
And Shaver is below the automatic qualifier. He's that's seated 9th, right. And the cutoff there on that at 133 is 8. So exactly. So, you know, for Ayala, he's lost to 1, 2, 3, and 4, so that's fair that he's in at 5. I agree there. I'll get to 74 in a minute to retort your Kennedy comment.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, so I'm going down with at 141. You know, Bailey got a pretty decent seed too. I mean, he lost to the 3 guys ahead of him and Only one that he's beaten below him would be Davis from Penn State, who's seeded seventh. Bailey, of course, is fourth, like you mentioned. But you know, you got a Rutgers guy in there, Oliveri. Keep an eye on him. I'm just saying that. That's my dark horse in the tournament. We'll see how he does.
He's good. He's good.
Yeah, and then at 65, you know, we mentioned we got the 2 seed. Blaze is the 3 seed. They Blaze beat us, but then 2 and 3, other than who you're going to have on your route to the semifinals, it doesn't really matter because you're opposite. You know, you're on the same side of the bracket there and opposite Messenbrink, which is what you want to be. So, because everyone, in my opinion, is wrestling for second place there. That's how good Messenbrink is.
Sure.
Now to 74. Oh, I skipped a couple ways, didn't I? Sorry.
I forgot to mention Ryder Block was the 8 seed at 49.
Right. So Block has lost to the 1, 2, 3. He beat Lamer from Nebraska, who's the 6 seed. Block's right. The 8 seed. So, you know, what prompted the guy that's ahead of him that has a loss to him? You know, and there's a number of those things. And I'm sure it's true with other ways. So maybe it's a round robin sort of thing. At 157, Victor Voinovich doesn't really have a lot of a resume to go with there. So 10 seed is probably where he belongs, I guess.
Yeah.
Not looking very close. Keep an eye on Cannon there, who's the 7th seed OSU kid. Real good there. So I was surprised that he was 7th. But, again, I don't know who's – I didn't look that close at it.
I will say this about Voinovich really quick. One of the Big Ten duels that he did wrestle in, remember the weekend when they went to, I guess they're separate weekends, but he wrestled, I think at Ohio State and Purdue. Or no, Purdue was a different week. That was Michigan State, but he wrestled at Purdue. And he beat Stoney Buell, who I believe is seated one spot ahead of him. That might be one that changes slightly, but what are you really gaining there? Being the 9 versus 10.
Right.
And actually, you know what? I'm looking at the seeds right now. There actually would be a big difference between being the 9 and 10 seed because Brandon Cannon, who I think at one time was ranked number one, is the 7th seed for Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. That's his quarterfinals match, right?
His first round match.
That's the first round match, right.
So if he were to be able to switch spots with Buell, he would face Luke Metchler from Wisconsin in the first round instead and then would have to wrestle possibly Intrell Taylor in the quarters. But – you know, that's an advancement point. That's a little step closer to those 8 qualifying spots. If you can get that first round win, might be a difference there.
Yeah, that's true. It's always a little bit easier if you can get that a seed up for sure. And don't forget that the I don't know what the at large is. Are they called at large votes or? Qualifiers.
Yeah, I think they're still considered at-large bids.
So if he can get, you know, 1 step or 2 steps higher up on the ladder there, maybe he'd have an opportunity to get an at-large there. So anyway, to 174, that's that one that's a mess. You know, my comment was on, 174. If Haynes stays at number 2, and Kennedy stays at number 3 instead of flip-flopping, then you've got Haynes. All of a sudden, the seeds just change because Haynes, to me, is clearly the number 1. I don't even know what's going on here. I have no idea how that happened. Minto is 18-4 on the season. Haynes is 18-0, beat Minto. Kennedy beat Minto. Now, Kennedy has a loss to Bo Montanano, but It's got a little bit of a mess there. So hopefully Haynes jumps Minto, and that actually, I think, makes it a little bit easier route for Patrick to the finals.
Right.
If everything plays out.
Yeah, and what's crazy, see, this is what I'm flummoxed about.
Flummoxed?
Yeah. Mental's lost to, his losses have come to everybody else in the field, and he's the number one seed. I don't get it.
Right. Yeah, he's lost to number two, number three, and number four. So evidently head-to-head doesn't take into much account, I guess.
No.
That should be the most important thing.
I mean, that's where I think you need common sense, where you need the human element to it. Kale Sanderson mentioned that as well. I think that, yeah. And I understand the idea of wanting to be objective, but you can't just rely strictly on formulas just because there are some things that are going to kind of slip through the criteria.
Right. And it's similar. It's 174 and 133 are similar, and it's the one and two that are questionable. But at least at 174, the number one seed has, lost, like I said, to 2, 3, 4, and I think 5 as well. So,
yeah.
The difference is at 133, both of them are undefeated. So,
yeah. See, that's where, just to echo your point, you could make a case for both at 133, right?
Right.
Both of them have a resume that would have earned the top seed. And now you got to pick between the two. 174 is not that way.
Right. No, not at all.
Yeah.
So Minto, to me, should not only drop one. He should drop probably four or five.
Probably to be a four seed, to be honest with you.
Or maybe even fifth. Didn't you say he lost to Hartzler?
I think one of the two, between Karchler or Mantinona, he lost one of those two.
He lost to Mantinona, for sure.
Okay, he beat Karchler, but okay. I'm not exactly sure. I thought it was three of those four, but.
Yeah, definitely the four. Top three. Yeah. Anyway, on to 184. Like you said, Ferrari's the eighth seed, which means he and Welsh, the number one seed, will meet in the quarterfinals, and that could be the championship match. Assuming Ferrari is healthy and 100%.
Yeah.
And he even wrestles. So, they could medical forfeit him or do whatever. I don't know what the extent of the injury is or if he's still even injured. So, but that eight seed, so he has one loss to Welsh on the season. That's his only loss of the season. He's 9-1. He's beaten Moore, who's the fifth seed from Illinois, and Fishback, who's the sixth seed from Ohio State, and that's right. All he's wrestled. So he's 2-1 against competition seated above him. And anyway, so just there's that common sense thing. Eighth seed, really. But again, if injury is a factor, maybe that's correct. I don't know.
This is where. So when it first came out, I said, I tweeted out or X'd, whatever the term is now. On social media that this seemed unfathomable. And the reason why I said that is who in the hell would have thought your Big Ten quarterfinal at any point in the regular season, who in the hell would have thought Ferrari and Welsh would have been a Big Ten quarterfinal? Right?
Right.
Mind-blowing. Of course, then I get a bunch of pushback from people that kind of took it the wrong way, and then of course I don't explain it properly on my retort, but that was the thing that was unfathomable, right? The fact that this is a possible matchup in the quarterfinals at the Big Tens that many people would have thought Big Ten finals, maybe a Big Ten semifinal, depending on how some other things shook out. Maybe they were on the same side, an NCAA final or NCAA semifinal. Nobody would have four weeks ago. Nobody would have thought this was a possibility. That's what I was getting at when I posted that. Right.
Right.
So all these people were like, "Well, I didn't wrestle. He didn't wrestle all year. Maybe if you wrestled, you're in your spot." I understand that, and I don't disagree, because you know, some idiot was like, well, you expect him to be the number one seed? And no, no, obviously not. Don't be silly. But are you telling me that Ferrari earned the 8 seed when you mentioned he doesn't have much of a resume, but he does have wins over Moore and Fishback? The loss to Welsh, his only loss of the entire season. That doesn't factor in at all. I think where I see Ferrari fitting in, actually, with everything ironed out, and you tell me if you think this is reasonable or not, I see him actually being the 4 or 5 seed. Now, it doesn't change much, except when Welsh and Ferrari possibly would face each other in that scenario, they've already secured an NCAA berth. You know, I mean, it's, you still have the same type of matchup, but it's just a little different considering they've already moved on to where, you know, the loser of that quarterfinal, they're still going to have to fight. Well, Welsh wouldn't because he'd get an at-large bid. But Ferrari, if he doesn't win that quarterfinal, he's going to have to fight his tail off to get in that top 8.
Unless he's so injured, they roll the dice to try and get that at large, which I would think he would be. If I remember right, this season we've had three wrestlers ranked number one at this weight. That being McAneely that started out the season and then might have been there for 1 week in there.
Ferrari and Welsh.
And you got Ferrari, the 8 seed, like we said. I'm with you, 4 or 5. I'd probably put him in at 5 just because he hasn't wrestled that much. But because also that he's beaten 5 and 6, you know, just bump those down.
Yeah.
And that just seems so reasonable. It's so, I mean, so simple to have that done. And,
right.
And, you know, so, yeah, sheesh.
Yeah, but, I agree. I agree with you there. I think even the 5, you know, I know he hasn't wrestled Walsh from Rutgers, but, you know,
even though
they weren't conference duels and they were all the way back in November, he still has wins over Moore and Fishback and, you know.
Yeah,
I don't get it. Don't get it.
Then I'm going to bump to 97 because we can be here all day on that
one. No, I know.
I know. So Gabe, like you said, is 13th, has no resume, hasn't even wrestled at 97 or very little, if he has, in the Big Ten, I mean. Might have one match or something. But anyway, I think here's my comment at 197 for Gabe. I think Gabe is undersized. I think he's the right person to be there at 97. So he's got some wrestling to do and to get qualified. If he gets qualified at 97, to me, I think that's so deserving of him. Because he's just done everything this season. And,
right.
And I also think 97 is the weakest weight. Not that it's weak, but I just don't see it with a lot of big names in there, other than a bar, of course.
I agree 100%. That was going to be my point too, was that if there is a weight class where you could be undersized, and Gabe's going to stay in good position, right?
He's going
to be stingy. He's going to be in good position, might have a little bit of a quickness factor or athleticism edge on some of those bigger guys. He's going to stay in the match, be able to get out from underneath, and as long as he doesn't get horsed around, he could steal 1 or 2. And with 10 qualifiers at that weight, that's all he needs to do is steal 1 or 2. And get in there.
And to me, that's such a victory for him. Whatever he does at Nationals, I don't even care.
The icing.
So that's the icing. Yeah, it'd be the icing. And now, another head scratcher to me. Again, it's probably because of the number of matches wrestled. 285. You got Keeter. Big Ben is seated 10th, and he has lost to number 1, lost to number 2, lost to 3, lost to 4. He's beaten 5, 7, and 9.
Really?
10th seed, you know, again, 5 and 5 and too much emphasis on not wrestling. I don't know. It's just, he has head to head. He's 4-3. He's lost to the top four seeded guys and beaten. Oh, I don't get it. So
I don't either. You know, one other one too. And it's kind of funny, right? Because Illinois, Lucas Byrd, presumably the reason why he's the number two is because the lack of strength of schedule, right? Which is nothing he can control.
Wait, I didn't see that as one of the criteria, strength of schedule.
Well, I swear that was mentioned, or it would kind of relate to the opponent's record, right?
Is it RPI
or something? Yeah, something along those lines. But yet, Spencer Moore at 125 somehow leapfrogs Nick Bouzakis from Ohio State.
Yeah,
to be the number two guy, and you know, maybe the teams that they faced had better 25 pounders than 33 pounders. Whatever, but my God, they wrestled the same schedule. One gets rewarded with the two, the other one mildly gets knocked to the two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems really inconsistent, and it affects multiple teams.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Penn State's going to be fine, right? But you don't think they're looking at the fact that, hey, Levi Haynes is the two? I mean, come on. They get knocked there. And then you've got Welsh, who's going to have to face Ferrari possibly in the quarterfinals. They're, you know, I'm sure they're, hey, we'll wrestle anybody anytime. But still, it's like, really? You're going to make our path that much harder? You know?
Yeah. I mean, and they talk about for Keeter, maybe they don't. They're saying he doesn't have enough matches wrestled. Well, he's 7 of his 10 matches are against Big Ten opponents. So, I mean, I should mention, we should mention that at 285 there is another Iowan in the lineup there. I'm not sure if you caught that or not. Gabe Christensen
for Northwestern.
Northwestern, right? Yep. Son of Jason Christensen, the retired now Southeast Polk coach.
Yep. He's the 13 seed for the Wildcats at 285. So, of course, 9 qualifiers there. So here's before we move on to the Big 12s. Here's the $64,000 question. Right. Penn State's obviously going to win it all, especially being at home. Ohio State cleared number two, I would say. Can Iowa finish third? I mean, I think there's a clump of teams, you know, where you've got Minnesota, you've got Nebraska in there, you know. I would overlook Rutgers.
Rutgers?
Being kind of in there, Michigan.
Yep. Illinois. You know,
Minnesota. Illinois. Yep. Where does Iowa, I think based off seeds, their point total is projected 7th. I don't think that's the case, but where do you see them kind of falling in place? And
well, you know,
knowing their bracket.
And I hadn't thought about that until you just asked me. So, and my immediate thought was with these seeds, third as a team is going to be, That'll be a huge victory if they can do that, because these seeds just didn't do them any favors. And so where do I think they fall? I have not even looked at it, so I'm just going to guess. I'm going to go 5th or 6th.
Really? I was going to say 4th or 5th.
Yeah.
I was going to say 4th or 5th, because I think Nebraska, like I said, Nebraska, Minnesota, you know, Michigan, depending on how some of those guys. I don't know if Illinois has that much depth.
And we said Nebraska.
What? Yeah.
You did say Nebraska. Okay.
Yep. I think Nebraska, Minnesota. I think they're 3-4, Iowa 4-5. You know, then you've got Michigan there. Kind of, I think those are the top six. Maybe Illinois sneaking in there. I'm probably selling Illinois a little short, but yeah, I think that's the best case scenario. And you know, I still think they could get 9 guys through to nationals as far as Iowa goes.
I've got them at 8 automatic qualifiers, just based on their seeds and where the line is. So it's not me. It's just that's where they're falling. So and the two that are out are at 57 and Arnold at 97. So Voinovich and Arnold. And you've got Ferrari and Keter that are on the bubble. They're right. You know, they're just above it, which you'd think they would be fine, but who knows, right?
But with health, you don't know.
Right.
You know, so.
But you both, might be banged up. So.
Right.
And then I had Ohio State, not I, but by the seeds, Ohio State qualifying 10 and Penn State qualifying 10. And I didn't check with anyone else.
But. Okay. I'll just go through the top seeds really quick. Luke Lilidahl at 125. We mentioned Blaze at 133. No surprise, Jesse Mendez at 141 for Ohio State. Shane Van Ness for Penn State at 149. Then Antrell Taylor at 157. Messenbrink, 65. We mentioned Minto at 74. And then Rocco Welsh at 84. Josh Barr from Penn State at 97. And then Tay Gadiali of Michigan, the number one seed there. So we'll see. The interesting thing too, AJ Ferrari, the number two seed for Nebraska, lost to Nick Feldman, right? Feldman's the 3 seed and Ferrari's the 2, which, you know, 2 versus 3, it's kind of a wash, but still.
Yeah.
You know, I will say Tom Brands, we asked Brands about this at his weekly media availability. He said that he called the office. He was the one to let us know about how the voting went, you know, where it was 12-1-1 in favor of this system. But called the offices, just kind of verified this is were we locked into any length of time for this setup. And it was a 1-year deal. And he pretty much insinuated the fact, after what kind of transpired, this is only going to be a 1-year deal. So, you know, it's going to get tweaked and changed. And you won't see anything quite like this next year.
I hope it gets tweaked and changed before the tournament starts. But it's like, you know, so I did count up Rutgers. They have 8 automatic qualifiers by the seeds, and then one of theirs is just below it. So they're a threat. You know, we don't pay much attention to their way out there.
But they've been a sleeper out east a little bit there.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be one to kind of watch, and certainly will challenge that that second tier of teams. Right.
Right.
Of course, that's it. That's Saturday, Sunday out at the Bryce Jordan Center. Not that Penn State needed any more help or any more of a boost, but they're going to be at home for that. So you can watch that Saturday and Sunday. The Big 12s, they actually start Friday at Tulsa, the box center there, which has been the de facto home of the event for a while now.
It's nice arena.
Yes. Good. Yes.
I've been there.
Iowa State. I think Iowa State's really I think the seeds reflected and served them well.
Right. And I don't know that they can beat Oklahoma State, but they're going to be, they're having fun. I get the impression that they're pretty relaxed and they're looking forward to this. And they've got two number one seeds in Elam and Mosqueda at 97 in heavyweight. And I'll let you run through it if you wish, but Oklahoma State has six number one seeds, three number two seeds. That's nine of their 10, and their 10th one is the fourth seed. So of course, all of those are above the qualifying line. So I just don't think Iowa State can unless they get some help from some other teams, can knock off OSU.
Right. No, the Cowboys are loaded. Just kind of looking at, I think Iowa State most years would be in a position to kind of win it where they're sitting. As you mentioned, two number ones and then four number two seeds, so six projected finalists, right? But all 10 or seventh or better, eight are seeded fourth or better. You mentioned Elam and Bastida. Poland at 125 is the number two, as well as Evan Frost at 133, Anthony Etchemendia at 141, and Jacob Frost at 149. Then you've got Vinny Zerbin at 157. The number three seed, MJ Gaetan at 174, is the number four seed. Connor Uten at 165 is the fifth seed. And then Isaac Dean, back for the Cyclones, he's the number seven seed at 184.
Uten, the fifth seed, is the only one that's not seeded above the auto qualifying line.
Right.
So he's the fifth seed, and it cuts off at four. So he'll have to wrestle above his seed to be an automatic qualifier there.
Yep.
Otherwise, they'll have nine.
And really, the only other two that are like semi close, Dean at 184, he's the seven seed, and they take eight at that. But as long as everybody wrestles to their seed, everybody should be fine outside of, as you mentioned, Newton. They only take four there at 165, which is the low for the Big 12.
Right, and Dean's been out of the lineup. I'm not sure if quite a bit, this seems like, anyway, the last part of the season here. And, so hopefully he's healthy and can go. I'm anxious, really anxious, to see Bastida make his run through the postseason. He's fun. He's fun to watch. And
I don't know if there's anybody that can challenge him as long as he stays healthy.
Yep. I agree with you. He's just been on a roll all year. Not had a close match, I don't think.
No. And the way he's winning them, too. I mean, he's being aggressive, and he's dictating just about every match that he's been in. It's not like he's countering people and catching people, or he's just putting it to people.
Yeah, exactly.
21-0.
4 years ago, or whatever it was, 5 years ago, when he first made the lineup, we're going, well, here's this guy that's grew up on freestyle. Is he going to be able to wrestle on the mat, bottom and top position? And then also, will his conditioning be good? Because he's a goer. He's always been a goer, But I have no questions at all. He's just, no concerns. He's got it going. I like him.
Right. You and I, a little bit different for them. Of course, they've dealt with so many injuries. But their top-seeded wrestler, Ryder Downey, the number two seed at 165, Then you've got Jared Sima and Nick Fox at 74 and 84 as the fifth seed. Julian Farber is the sixth at 133, and Caleb Rachi, the sixth at 149. Then you've got Trevor Anderson, the seven at 125. Adam Aronson at heavyweight is the eighth seed. And then Maximus Brady getting the call at 141. Kale Ranavardi at 157. John Gunderson at 197, all unseated.
Right. And they're not, those three are not real close to the cutoff. So you've got Downey, Sima, Fox, and Farber, who are seated at automatic qualifying position. And then you've got Rachi, who's one below. He's sixth seed, like Farber, but unfortunately at his weight, they're taking only five. And so he's close. He can get there. And then Trevor Anderson and Adam Anderson, 25 and 285, are two below. So they'll have to wrestle a couple above their seed to get automatic qualifiers. So they can do that. You know, it's they know the program. They know the route down there. And you and I have wrestled and performed well in Tulsa. So hopefully they can continue to do that.
Yeah. You and I, close to being the defending Big 12 champs, you know, a little bit of a weigh-in issue, kept them from almost sneaking that out last year. I think it's going to be a little bit different. As you mentioned, Oklahoma State, head and shoulders above the – well, I wouldn't say head and shoulders, but at least the head of Iowa State, and then maybe a little bit of a gap between Iowa State and the rest of the field. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would agree. And I want to back up and just make this comment. The weigh-in issue wasn't with you and I or you and I wrestlers. It was with maybe a funky kind of hat. And then, once in a while when they win, they might do this. And their fans might be going, O-S-U. But I don't want to really say who it is.
No. Well, yeah. And I just kind of joke around. Doug Schwab kind of made reference to that, like at Media Day.
But I also heard Dresser address that as well.
Oh, did he really?
At the time. That's why I like Dresser, man. He doesn't tap dance, and he'll say it. If it's his team, he'll say it. If it's someone else's team, he'll say it. He said it wasn't right. So
right.
I like Dresser for that respect, that regard.
Anything else stand out to you about the Big 12s down there? I mean, it seems like they got it right.
Yeah, and I didn't digest it like I did the Big 10. So I think, from what I can tell, and looking from a distance, it looked pretty fair.
Looking at let's look at last week's national qualifiers for D3 and D2. The D3 qualifier was up at Dubuque, the Five Flags Center. And probably not a big surprise here. Warburg, Loris, Coe, 1, 2, 3. Warburg had 9. No, Coe had 5. How many did Loris get through? 7, maybe?
Yeah, 7. So it's 9, 7, and 5 with Warburg, Loris, and Co. And then Central had 3. Luther had 3. Cornell had 1. UD, University of Dubuque, had 2. And that's it. No one else qualified. There's 30 spots for, what were there, 18 or 19 teams?
Yeah.
So times, yeah. Theoretically, times 10. Not every team was full. But so that's 180 right. Wrestlers, and 30 of them move on. It's just not fair in D3.
Right. Especially when you're looking at, you said there's 100 and how many wrestlers? 130 wrestlers or so?
No, there's 18 teams and 10 weights. 180. 180. I think there was 18, if I remember right. The reason some regionals had 18, some had 19, some had 20 or 21. So I'm pretty sure there was 18 at this one.
So that's 1/6 of the field moving on.
Yeah.
And then you look at their D1 counterparts, where 2/3 Well, the field of the Big Ten moves on, and over half of the field in about half of the field in the Big 12 move on.
It will be more than that after the at-larges are assigned.
So right. Yeah. Good point.
Yep.
And D3 and D2 don't get those at-larges anymore.
The D3 bracket at Nationals is 21 wrestlers, and the D2 bracket is 16 wrestlers. Well, I mean, not 16, 18 wrestlers. I'm sorry, 18 sure. At D2. So you've got a 32-man bracket with 14 buys in the first round at D2. And a 32-man bracket with, 11 buys on
D3.
So just let the kids wrestle, my golly, jeez. So frustrating. But anyway, all right, on to the good news. Who qualified? No, I was just asking, who qualified for Coke?
Brayden Park at 125. He was a runner-up there. Dresden Grimm also finished second at 141. He moves on. And then Jean Nagoma at 197. He transferred in at semester, I believe started at Ellsworth or Iowa Central, and then came in. He's been a boost there. He finished second to Cal DeRota of Wartburg, lost by a point in the finals. Wyatt Smith, former Lisbon heavyweight, he got third to grab that last spot. And then the one that really stands out, Bo Kudum, comes away with a title at 165. He knocks off a couple of ranked wrestlers in the final two matches. He beat Brian Petrie of Cornell 8-1, and then he ends up winning by injury default over Clayton McDonough, who is ranked number one for Luther at 165. So Kudum, he's been wrestling really well, especially as of late. That's the second win over Petrie, who is who's been ranked, his second win over in 2 or 3 weeks. Coach O talked about how, he's a real fierce competitor. But even when he won by injury default over McDonough, he was winning 6-0.
Right.
Got a takedown. Then I think there was injury time. Then they started neutral again, got a takedown, and then it was done. So, good for Kudum.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm feeling it for Luther because, boy, McDonough's been so good for him. He's been number one all season long. And I hope he's 100% at national time because, boy, Luther could sure use a national champ. Not that we want to knock off any of our people that we follow, but, just looking at that program, they could sure use that.
Especially what he's been able to do.
Right.
I mean, he's their all-time wins leader,
right.
Ranks among their leaders in pins. He's a multi-time All-American, a national qualifier.
So it was pretty much good news, I guess, qualifying-wise for the McDonough family, in that his brother Bryce also qualified. And then Luther's other qualifier was Connor Kidd, was a champ at 133. Yeah. So big win there for Connor.
Yep. Cornell, they got one through. And that tells you a little bit about how tough this regional is, where they had a couple guys that were ranked, but only Brian Petrie at 165 makes it through. He got third behind Kudum and McDonough. And that'll be Cornell's only qualifier. Of course, he's getting third in a heck of a tough weight class.
Right.
As well.
And normally we wouldn't talk about Central, but I'm going to bring it up because there's a couple of Metro kids that wrestled there. And KC Breck was a champ at 149 for Central. Of course, he's a Lisbon alumnus and graduate there. And then, unfortunately, Christian Stanek, the
just missed
Cedar Rapids Xavier prep, took fourth. He is just out of qualifying. So,
yeah, and that was one of the weight classes where they had like four or five ranked wrestlers maybe fighting for three spots, and he lost a 1 point match in the quarterfinals, and then he lost a 1 point match in the tiebreakers for that last qualifying spot and finished fourth. So just very, very close to advancing.
Right. And then the University of Dubuque had two qualifiers. They're both third at 157, Colton Weiler, and then Zane Pinnell at 184. They both qualified.
And of course, the D3 championships are here in Cedar Rapids, March 13th and 14th at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse. You can check that out. Make sure to get out and watch that here in your own backyard, downtown Cedar Rapids. That's always a great tournament. Always fun to have here. They do a great job hosting it. And, of course, the action there is really second to none as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Always exciting. And this year they're going to have something a little different. They'll have a pre-tournament press conference that they haven't had before with some wrestlers that stood out in the regionals, some of the top coaches as well. So keep an eye out for that. Of course, Wartburg, nine qualifiers. I think Augsburg and Roanoke might have had 10 apiece. Wisconsin Lacrosse kind of there at eight. You know, so kind of the regular players are going to come with a pretty good group, I would say.
Right, and of course, like we said, Loris with eight. Now, I wanted to mention this. I mentioned in our last podcast that the Dubuque regional, it's Region 6, it used to be Lower Midwest, right? And actually the Upper Midwest both lost Upper Midwest Region 7 now. Lost University of Wisconsin Whitewater. They went over to Ohio, and then North Central from Illinois and Milliken from Illinois that were in that in the Dubuque regional. They both went over to the Ohio regional, and so here's how they finished. I just wanted to mention this. Milliken finished sixth, had one qualifier. North Central finished second, and had six qualifiers. And Whitewater finished first in that, and had five qualifiers. So, you know, you take those teams out of those, I'm going to still call it the upper and lower Midwest because it's just easier to say, regionals. Right. Now, soften those a little bit. So that helped a little bit in terms, but it might have actually helped, you know, who knows, might have helped, you know, like a Wartburg who might have maybe not had nine or whatever. So you never know how that kind of plays out. But I just thought I'd mention that because all the, you know, those three teams that bumped over to that Ohio regional all did very, very well in that regional. So, Augsburg, by the way, had seven champs, one runner-up, and two-thirds. Lacrosse had one champ, four seconds, and a three-thirds. So, Augsburg's looked pretty strong in their regional.
Want to make mention Upper Iowa? They got one through to the D2 championships. It'll be next weekend at Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Ethan Doty, the lone peacock to get through. He was a runner-up finisher at 149. So he returns to the national tournament for Upper Iowa. And, of course, it'll just be him heading up there.
Right. Unfortunately, we got a Elbernet alum that Russell took six, didn't qualify. Preston Klosterman at 157. Recognize that name, KJ?
Yep.
You bet. So, again, in the Wisconsin Platteville won that. St. Cloud was second. Minnesota State was third. Upper Iowa was seventh, team-wise. So it was tough. They call it super regional. It was very tough super regional up there.
Wisconsin Parkside.
Parkside, what did I say? Platteville. I said Platteville. Yeah, they're D3.
Yeah. So let's turn our attention to the women's tournament this year. The very first NCAA championship, sponsored championship for women's wrestling. It's going to be at Extreme Arena in Coralville starting Friday. I believe the first session is at 10 o'clock. On Friday, you've got teams from obviously Iowa, McKendree University, probably the favorite going in just based on kind of those opening seeds and brackets. You know, you've got North Central, which has been a top contender the last few years with National Coaches Wrestling, Women's Wrestling,
right?
A conference, whatever it was called before.
And but, then they also won the national duels this year, right?
Yes. With a pin in the very final match. And so you've got three really good teams. There are some other good teams, you know, like Kings or King College from Tennessee, Colorado Mesa. Wartburg's women have done pretty well in duels, but a little bit different now. But should be a fun weekend down at Extreme Arena.
Right. And then remember, I believe next year Oklahoma State is adding a team. And then I guess we're kind of keeping our fingers crossed for another team in the state of Iowa here possibly. Is that
something, is that a dream? What do you think about that?
I think it'd be awesome. I'm saddened for the gymnasts, but we're talking about Iowa State, maybe possibly starting up a women's wrestling program. I think they can, you know, from an athletic director standpoint, here's what I think might be happening. To get that equity between male and female, you want to try and get a sport that's going to draw a lot of bodies in to balance out football, because there's so many bodies, male bodies in football. So I don't know. Will wrestling be that sport? I don't know. You know,
for Iowa, you feel bad for the gymnastics situation, but maybe a little bit of a selfishness that with the way things are going, and now that there's an NCAA championship, you'd like to see wrestling kind of fill that void, and Jamie Pollard said it wasn't a financial issue, that they're not dropping it because of finances. It all has to stem from whatever situation has transpired between coaches, athletes, and parents of athletes that led to some irreconcilable differences, obviously. And that's what's kind of driving this. Now, it might be one of those things where, hey, you know, we really wanted to get rid of it. This is a perfect opportunity to drop it and add women's wrestling like we've been wanting to do but haven't been able to. So it might kind of fit the purpose, if that makes any sense.
So that's a speculation on your part, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's totally conjecture on my – that there's no – don't – yeah. It's not anything I'm reporting or no, that's totally informal, just a random thought running in my empty head.
Yeah. And that, like you said, you got to get those, try and get those numbers balanced out a little bit, between male and female. So who knows what they might do. I know Iowa, didn't they just have to drop their rowing program, the women's rowing? So that takes a lot of numbers, female numbers off the books there for Iowa. So they may be looking to, but, you know, they did add wrestling. So a couple of years ago.
And remember there was swimming and dive. There was a situation with the swimming and diving too.
Why they added wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. At least that's what they kind of talked about is kind of their penance maybe for what they did. Again, that's not anything that's on the books or anything, but.
Well, I think that was mentioned by the athletic department. That certainly helped prompt it, I think.
Maybe not. I'm not sure, but we are glad they do have wrestling now, right?
For sure. Good fun.
And of course, they're going to be fully loaded this weekend. You know, they had one heck of a regional performance. You know, they got all 10 through, and of course, not only do they have the numbers, but they've got some pretty heavy guns coming into the tournament as well. When you look at their number one seeds, in Reese Laramendi, Kennedy Blades, and Kylie Welker, they're from like 145 to 170.
So if you're in the arena and you're busy working, a wrestler is called to a mat. Which one is get, or maybe two? Which one or two are you going to stop and say, "Oh wait, stop everything I'm doing"?
Oh, without a doubt, it'll be Kennedy Blades.
Yeah, she is. How many back arches are we going to see?
Yeah, right.
Oh, she's something else. I love watching her.
Right. Yeah. You know, and Kylie Welker's right there too. I mean, just different. You know, she more dominant, not necessarily the high amplitude moves that you're going to see, like you mentioned, the back arch and stuff that we've seen out of Kennedy Blades. But you know, Kylie Welker, she's as strong as anyone there. The number one seed at 180. Of course, Blades at 160. And, you know, Reese Laramendi at 145, she's 33-0. I know, I have to apologize. I think I'm going to butcher her name. Maddie Rochek, she's working on a feature for us on Reese Laramendi heading into the national tournament. So keep an eye at Gazette.com for Maddie's feature on her looking to get her first title there at 145. You know, one other not part of that echelon group that you're talking about as far as like dropping everything to watch. One person I'm going to be interested to watch compete is Lily Luft. Everybody knows Lily's history and everything. But, you know, this is something that some people have brought up that, you know, she's competed in this arena, you know, for state tournaments, the Donnybrook, I think. You know, this is a place that she knows well. You know, the Soldier Salute. She's going to be comfortable here. It's been a big arena for her. We'll see if that provides any bit of a boost for Luft. She's a fourth seed at 138. But I'm interested to see how she does this weekend there in Coralville.
I would be surprised if she hasn't or didn't wrestle in the youth tournament that's held there in October.
Sure.
Wrestle Like a Girl, maybe, or
oh yeah, yep.
I forget what it's called, but something like that brings in from you know teams. It's a national tournament, brings in teams from Oklahoma and various states. So I bet she probably wrestled in that as well, even KJ.
Right. Just running down Iowa seeds. Valerie Solorio is the number two seed at 103. Nyla Valencia, the number five at 110. Brianna Gonzalez, the number five at 117. And then Carly Brooks, the number four at 131. The other qualifier for the Hawkeyes at 124 is Kelly Lang. And then I think it's 207, the heavyweight weight class, Katya Osteen is the number five seed there for Iowa. You know, we mentioned Warburg, you know, Riwa Chababo at 207. Mackenzie Childers, a former Prairie wrestler, she's in the field as well. Afton Stussy, I think, is a four seed at 110 for Warburg. Gable Heeman wrestling at 157. Then you got Sophie Bowers, or 117, excuse me. Sophie Bowers for Warburg at 124. Childers at 31. Kylie Rule at 138. And then Anaya Kelly at 145 for the Knights in the field, of course. Simpson, and we got to mention this as well. And maybe we mentioned it before, but Simpson, their coach, Jeff McGinnis, everybody knows McGinnis, is, you know, from what he did at Iowa City High and for the Hawkeyes. But he's the going to be like the U-17 Team USA coach. Is that correct?
That is correct, and you're right. I heard he is a pretty good wrestler.
Yeah. He's got a couple wrestlers in the field. Annalise Obermark at 145, and then Keely Curley, the former East Buck prep, also in the field for Simpson this weekend. So that tournament begins Friday, I believe, at 10 a.m. At Extreme Arena. You know, McKendry's going to be right there as well. They're loaded. And like I said, based on seeds, probably kind of leading the way. North Central is going to be right in the mix as well. So should be fun, and something that might come down to those last couple finals matches, maybe, to determine a winner.
Right. And when you're watching freestyle wrestling, so in women's college wrestling, don't leave your seats, because matches can get over in a blink.
That's right. You know, and this is big. I mean, it's like the 91st official championship from the NCAA. You know, this is the first year that competitors, girls wrestling is blown up, especially here at Iowa. Across the country. Now that they can look and actually envision an NCAA championship, I think it's only going to cause the numbers to grow as well.
Yep, I agree. And it's, you know, for us in Iowa, the high school girls hopefully will attend and see that and aspire to do that in college and just keep growing it in college with more numbers coming out of high school.
Also forgot, Dubuque has a couple qualifiers in Shea Reisel at 117 and Alexandria Hoffrichter at 162. So the Spartans represented there. Is Dennis Hall still their coach?
I'm not sure. I know he was, but I don't know if he's still
there. He wasn't one time and stuff, but anyway. All right, so that's this weekend. Any parting words before we close out?
Nope, I'm good, I guess.
All right. Well, then send us home. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Travel should be simple. With Gazette Travel, every detail is handled. You just show up and enjoy with fellow Iowans. View available trips at thegazette.com/travel.